Hey, Pro Nerds, it's Iggy here, and wow, episode 205 of the Nerdcast. We've done 205 of these. We've done a few more, too, especially some of the other spinoffs, but that's not important right now. The fact is that we're here for 205, and I'm introducing a special episode. We're out of the studio this weekend. Why? Well, go look at projectnerd.com. That's right, project-nerd.com. Check out our brand new website. Big shout out to our technology officer, Tom, and obviously, everybody who comes to the site to make it possible for us to keep doing this. We have a blast. We love it. It does take a lot of work, and a lot of work went into this. So head on over to projectnerd.com. If you only get the Nerdcast or Project Nerd podcast from another avenue, maybe Apple, Google, wherever, can I say it one more time? Projectnerd.com. Anyways, this is episode 205. I'm going to give you a flashback to Ocon Expo, where Tyler and some of the other Project Nerd podcasters talked a little bit about podcasting. We're giving it to you now this week. We'll be back in studio next week. Also, remember to head on over to geekgarage.com. That's right, geek-garage. They love the hyphen just like we love the hyphen. Anyways, geekgarage.com. Geek Garage, the place where geek cars live. They are our title sponsor, and we're happy to be partnered with them. They got some awesome vehicles. Tons of Jurassic Park Jeeps, some great Ghostbuster stuff, Batmobile, Wonder Z, and so many more. Anyways, Tyler, the rest coming at you right now. Episode 205, The Nerdcast.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to The Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to The Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
What? Well, okay, anyway. Hey, let's talk podcasts.
Let us talk some podcasts. We are coming at you live from the Project Nerd Pavilion at Ocon Expo numero 5.
2019, version 5.0.
It is Saturday. It is day two of the con. The floor has been open now for
minty,
a little over an hour, and it is hopping. It is popping here. How's your guys' weekend been so far?
It's hopping. Well, maybe we should introduce ourselves to the podcast.
You know what? That is a fantastic plan. We're here live at the Project Nerd Podcast Pavilion. I'm Tyler.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Ethan.
So, yeah, we've got Ethan over here from Meeple Skills. We've got our good friend Josh from Project Nerd Sexy Nerd Science. I can't talk. Sexy Nerd Science. And then, obviously, I'm Tyler from The Nerdcast. And we're here at Ocon just hanging out, partying, talking podcast, talking con.
They purposely get the three smartest people from each one of their podcasts
yes.
to be on there.
Basically,
are you saying
yes.
My wife's not smart?
I'm just saying.
Josh is.
Your podcast might be comprised of two fully smart people. But
equally
not
smart,
all
people.
Of us.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will 100% take credit for being the smartest person on the Nerdcast.
Okay, so if we're going to talk podcasts, let's talk the nitty gritty business of podcasts. So, Meeple Skills started earlier this year, and we started in January, so we're the newest. So, I would argue that you two have a little more experience with this. So. What do you think is the most important number one thing? Well, we'll start with Tyler. If you're going to start a podcast, what do you think the most important thing you need to consider before you get started is?
Before you get started?
Yeah.
Be able to, anytime we have any kind of conversation around most important things when it comes to podcasting, I always say the same thing, and that is consistency. Be prepared and be ready and know that you're able to commit to whatever your regularity is going to be. So if you're going to do it once a week, make sure that you're doing it once a week. If you're going to do it three times a week, make sure that you can commit to three times a week. Set some time aside, whether it be a specific day, a specific time. We all, obviously all of us have day jobs. We all have important things to do, but there's no faster way to lose an audience or lose people interest in your podcast, especially when it's new, is if you can't commit to hey, we're going to be out every Friday. But then we're out this Friday, but not next one, and then two, and then we miss another one, and then that.
Miss a whole half a season.
If you're going to have that RSS feed, build some consistency.
Yeah, that is sort of why Meeple Skills decided to go monthly, because we knew that if we did weekly, first of all, we'd run out of board games because we don't have the money to continuously be buying board games.
Just buy new ones every week?
Yeah, to review them. So, yeah, we're like, and plus we both have pretty demanding full-time jobs. And so I work, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week. I don't have time to play half the games anymore. So I'm just, you know, lucky if I get to participate in most of it and just kind of facilitate the podcast itself. So, yeah, knowing when you're able to, what amount of time you're able to commit, I think is really important.
100%. When we started the Nerdcast, obviously, it was a lot easier than to coordinate. We all lived in the same town. We all, early on, all even worked at the same place. So, like, finding time in our schedules to all meet together in a room and sit down and record the podcast was not an onerous thing to, like, get to. Nowadays, we talk about, most recently, we've gone through various phases of going black, going dark, and not having podcasts because now we all four live in four different cities.
Two different time zones.
Two different time zones. Now we're about to be in three different time zones because Adam from Nerdcast is now moving is on a plane right now to England where him and his wife are moving. So we'll be running on two continents, three time zones. We do everything online now, and now finding time in our busy lives between, you know, families and work and stuff like that to sit down once a week for an hour and record it, plus then have the time to sit down and, you know, edit it and produce it.
Who does
it,
the editing like for Nerdcast?
He does all of it right now.
Okay. I was just curious. Okay, so Sexy Nerd Science, the origin story. I mean, what was the thing that made you, Drew, and Dale say, let's do this podcast?
So, I mean, it started off just kind of me and Drew wanting to do a podcast. And then 5 years ago at O Comic Con, we watched the Create Your Own Podcast with Project Nerd and Men in a Tub and a couple other people that were here. And so we were like, hey, we want to do that. So we asked a bunch of questions and tried to dodge all the, you know, we learned, you know, what not to do and tried to put things aside so we would make sure not to make those same mistakes. Inevitably made some of them. I mean, consistency is a big piece because I know our podcast, you know, we got into a habit where, you know, a couple times where we'd be really consistent, really good going, you know, and then once we hit our stride, something happens, something comes up, and then we're off it for 3 weeks, a month. And then, you know, there's four episodes that didn't go out because we were going to do it once a week. You know, we've gone through, you know, personal family crises. We've gone through moves. And we're also coordinating on two different time zones. So Eastern and Central time for that, because Dale doesn't always live in Nebraska and isn't always in Nebraska. So, making sure we've got that going and balancing family and friends and life. And I think that's really tough. I think, too, the other thing is, you know, find content that you're going to enjoy. I think that was one of the things that, you know, I don't get bored talking about the stuff I talk about on the podcast. And I usually can talk about it in a way where it engages both Drew and Dale. But Dale didn't start joining until... he was always there listening while we were doing the podcast, and he was taking notes about where he could help us edit and things like that. And one day, like, we just, like, had him, like, Dale, hop on, like, the audio and just talk to us over the internet. And then that turned into, like, a couple episodes where Dale was just on it the entire time, and then we're like, why are we even doing it this way? Like,
just do it all the time.
Have all three, like, have Dale be a permanent member. So it was shortly after the beginning. I mean, Dale went out and bought the domain for our website the day Drew and I bought all the equipment for, you know, we're going to start a podcast. Dale's like, cool, I'll buy the domain and buy everything else you guys need. So, yeah, he went out there and really got invested monetarily in our podcast in the beginning. Yeah, it's a constant, you know, there's always one of us trying to keep the podcast going and the other two fighting with each other or something like that, too. So it helps that you guys are, like, technically legally binded in your podcast.
Bound.
Yeah, legally bound. You're right.
yeah, well, so, okay. So my podcasting adventure actually started right after college. I had a weekly Magic the Gathering podcast about, like, competitive magic.
What was it called?
It was called Midwest Magic.
All right.
And so I talked about tournaments in the Midwest.
Missed opportunity.
What?
To call your podcast, Do You Believe in Magic?
I don't know that that was a missed opportunity.
Because I'm pretty sure that is not copyrighted. Like, that's fair use now.
So the thing about it is actually the Magic the Gathering podcast realm is actually very saturated. And so, like, there was a lot of, I won't say competition, and really how I got started was, like, listening to other podcasts and being like, man, that sounds like me and my friends already do this. Like, we sit here and talk like this about these things. Why not just record it and see if people like it? And then they did. And I was like, what? Why?
Wait, people listen to your podcast and like the content?
Yeah.
I don't think we have anybody.
We had like 800 downloads, and we were just two dudes from rural Nebraska talking about competitive Magic, who, by the way, weren't known players on the circuit. You know, it's not like we were particularly good or had, like, you know, wins under our belt that meant something. We just kind of knew what we were talking about and understood those concepts. And so I remember, like, one of the big things I did to try and, like, not only spread the word, but I want to know, like, am I doing this right? Is I posted my podcast on Reddit and was like, hey, what do y'all think? And one of the things that kind of struck me as interesting is one of the critiques we got was, like, someone was like, I think you guys could go deeper because you clearly know what you're talking about. And I was like, we do? Wow, thank you. You know, like,
that's always
that was
good to hear.
Right. And I was like, I had no idea that we knew what we were. I thought we were just, you know, giving it a shot and then seeing if we were tracking. But, you know, it was a subject that we both were really into and had enough exposure to other media of it that we could kind of consume that other media and translate it in such a way that worked. And so when that sort of ended when I moved to Kansas City, because financially I couldn't afford to play competitive Magic anymore.
Yeah.
So I couldn't keep up with the game and sort of lost, you know, the ability to keep going with that. And now Jackie's obsessed with board games. So we have like 72 in our basement and like 60 of them I haven't played. So we have a lot of content going forward.
Why are you not played them all yet?
Mostly
because pacing.
I have so I recently found out that I probably have ADD and went undiagnosed for most of my life, and I'm almost 30 and just found it out like 2 weeks ago. So sitting down and playing a board game is actually really difficult for me. And like I never thought about it. And like for some reason, I don't know what it is, but like even playing D&D, which I love Dungeons and Dragons, like I have the logo tattooed onto my skin. Like I love it. But even then, like I have to stand up and like leave the table for a little bit and like get a drink or eat something because I can't sit there. And I never thought about it because I could like sit and play World of Warcraft for like 10 hours straight. But a board game, I just can't do the same way. And it's really kind of a weird thing for me. So, like, especially, like, complicated board games that Jackie loves. She loves Euro games and, like, worker placements that have, like, a million rules for, like, one interaction.
Worker placement's so much fun.
I like the idea of them, but, like, I just can't pay attention for an entire phase, like, most of the time. Because I'm just like, well, okay, what? Just tell me what happens. Like, I'm just going to place this guy here, and you do the rest.
So you're suggesting that we get full physicals before starting any podcast?
No.
We're immediately going to stop what we're going to do and just go play, like, a five-hour game of Caverna.
Yeah. I'm suggesting that you find your strengths before you go into podcasting about something. Because that was, I think, one of the biggest mistakes about Meeple Skills. Because I knew, like, I can talk about board games. I love the concepts of game design and talking about those parts of board games. Like, oh, yeah, you know, they took this idea from this game and changed it this way, and now you do this, and, like, interactions between rules, because I'm also, like, a Magic the Gathering judge. So, like, I love those rules interactions.
Okay.
But I found out after, like, our first three episodes, is, like, I can't sit and play three games to review them. Like, that is a challenge for me. So we brought in another host who plays the games with Jackie, and I facilitate the discussion of the podcast.
Okay.
So I can kind of moderate it, like, okay, let's move on, you know, or let's... what about
bored with this.
Right. was like, what about this particular concept within the game? Or what about, you know, let's talk about this part of the game or how you feel about this. I love that kind of stuff. I love that part of podcasting and the talking and facilitating discussion between multiple people. So that was where I found my strength. Like, this is what I can contribute to the podcast as sort of a producer, moderator role. And Jackie and Alyssa can then talk about the games. And because they can sit and play it and not freak out and get bored in the middle of it.
Well, if you need anyone else to just come play the game, you let me know.
Sounds good. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, like the main things to figure out.
But I think we could probably expand on that for a second. That's a good call out is like, you know, do what you know.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are definitely fun, there are fun models or fun, like, content stands just where you can be, like, where you can talk about things that you don't know or maybe have someone in there who doesn't know and you're educating and stuff like that. But all intents and purposes, if you're going to have a focus like board games, like, you know, nerdy stuff in science or movie or whatever it's going to be, you know, pick something that you're, number one, passionate about, but also that you can speak, I don't want to say necessarily speak with authority, but speak from a place of, like, this is something I could never get tired of talking about, and I am going to make the time to know that I know what I'm talking about.
Right. So I think one thing that people often, personally, I think overthink is equipment for podcasting. What do you guys think about, you know, if you're starting to podcast or you are thinking about podcasting, what do you think is important to think about for equipment? Because it's so easy now.
I mean,
it is so easy now.
It is and it isn't. Like, I think. I mean, I think there's ways where, yes, it's so easy to get content like that out there, but it's not easy to get good content like that out there. And there are the people who will, you know, do an interview with somebody. Like, there's a reason why, you know, the Nerdcast has Bob out there with the H4N with microphones and headphones, because that's going to sound like a lot better interview than the person who goes up there with their iPhone and hits, like, the voice record memo and, like, holds the phone between both of them and tries to talk in it.
That's 100% true, yes.
Like, that's something that, yes, you can make it work that way, and, like, as we've done it before, too. But I do, I mean, and maybe it's just the technophile in me that I like the production quality that you can get with having better stuff. Now, am I saying go out there and buy $1,000 microphones and, you know, get a huge soundboard table? Like, no, you don't need to do that either. Just make sure you know, if you're going to do inexpensive stuff, just make sure, you know, you have what you need to make it right. USB audio interface, couple microphones to talk into. They can be directional microphones or anything like that. And then just keep upgrading your stuff as you go. Like, you can start small and then get big by upgrading your stuff as you need it. And I think that's something that we've, and Project Nerd as a brand has done, you know, from the very beginning. I mean, we have more and more stuff we're bringing to every convention now. But the quality of the content we're producing is.
And understand that, like, your first one is going to be bad. Like, just like anything, like, your first draft is going to be bad. Your first podcast is going to be bad. Your second podcast is also probably going to be bad. And it's going to take a minute to figure it out. And it just have to sit down. You just got to do it. You just got to commit. You got to sit down and you got to do it. And, like, hey, does it help that we've gone out of the way and, like, gotten some good mics and gotten a soundboard and gotten H4N to do, like, live broadcasts and things like that? 100%. But we made some really great podcasts just plugging a bunch of USB mics into a MacBook and sitting in a room and knocking it all out in GarageBand. Can you get farther and better when you get into higher quality stuff? Yeah, 100%. But also just controlling your surroundings. Like, you sit in a quiet room with some USB mics, it's going to sound great as long as you know, focus, know what you're doing, and then spend some time learning Audacity or learning GarageBand or learning some basic free software that'll let you get where you need to go. But yeah, you don't need to go out and break the bank out. But at the same time, I am a huge gadget nerd and technophile and early adopter.
Yep.
I love the idea of, I mean, I will 100% admit to owning at least 5 different kinds of microphones in my apartment right now to hook up to my computer various ways. Analog, digital, I've got a Yeti. I've got a Snowball. I've got a Shure mic that runs through, like, analog through into the bar. I mean, I've got all that stuff, but at the same time, I've got a big boom thing that hangs down to do certain things. I've played around with lots of different software, everything from, like,
cup and a string,
Hindenburg to, like, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, like, just take what you have, start there, and then make just don't go out and buy a bunch of stuff right now before you know what you're doing. Do it, sit down, record it, listen to it, play with it, and then go from there and add on as you need.
Yeah, so my first podcast started with me and my buddy, who lived about 45 miles away, would get on Google Hangouts, and it was just through our webcam mics. Like, you know, they weren't great, but it actually wasn't bad. And, you know, run it through Audacity, cut out the ums, and then I went overboard and started cutting out every time he said like, and that took me like a year each episode, and it was crazy. He said like a lot. But
is another one that I get all the time.
I just said that right now.
I know. You said like about 100 times. Yeah. But did you ever get so good at doing it that you could see in the audio file where people would say like and but and
yes. And in Meeple Skills, I have found where I go because I do that a lot. That is my vocal pause that really bothers me. And like, I was a big speech nerd all through high school and college, so I understand to like look for those things, but don't catch myself doing them in real time.
100%.
So, and that's another thing is sometimes you just have to kind of be okay with that, and that you don't have to edit out every single and like. And that took me a while to get the hang of. But I started with, you know, like this webcam mic, and then when we started Meeple Skills, we just had a Yeti Snowball in front of us. And now I've got a soundboard hooked to my computer, which hooks to my mic that I use for streaming on Twitch, as well as microphones I have on a table over there, so I can sit at my computer and do the production part and participate in conversation and have, you know, Jackie and Alyssa talking into the mics there as they feed into the soundboard that feeds into my computer. And again, I still use Audacity because that is amazing free software.
Probably the best free software.
Yeah, it's great.
It is so good.
It does everything you need, especially for podcasting. And, like, I could go overboard and record. I could start a rock and roll band and record it in Audacity and be fine. And Dale just ruins everything.
Wow. So, I mean, is there... So, I know we just all kind of agreed that Audacity is great. Is there anything... Like, if you were to say, like, podcast starter pack and name off, you know, a couple things that everyone... should have, like, it's not a necessary thing, you have to have it, but everything we think people should have, is there something like we go through and do that?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is going to be what's your environment like. Is everyone on the podcast going to be in a single room,
mm-hmm.
or is this going to be a web-based thing? Are you going to be doing it on location at times? If I would say if everyone's going to be in the same room, you're just going to knock it out at the time of, I would say some high quality USB mics, whether it be like a blue Yeti or a Snowball, a good laptop, and a room that you can get as quiet as possible. And yeah.
That's it.
Audacity.
That's all you need.
I think those two things are good. I do like the USB audio interface a little better than the USB mics. I found that editing USB mics... So, A, depending on what type of driver you have on your computer might not recognize more than one microphone input at a time. And without some serious know-how of what you're doing, you're not going to be able to record using more than one microphone. So if you do have a Snowball, awesome. But if you have four people that want to do a podcast together and they're all in the same room and you try to plug, you know, you have, oh, I have eight USB ports. Let me just plug all these mics in. You might find out that you can only record with two of those mics.
Yeah,
that is 100% true.
Yeah, the interface thing I learned kind of the hard way because I wanted one, and so I asked for one for my birthday, but I didn't know enough about how they worked to understand that not all of them can just plug into a computer. And so I had to get a USB interface to plug into the soundboard to convert it.
Yeah.
But now, because I have it that way, it doesn't pick up separate channels, so I can't record the channels of the mic separately. It still just records as one channel.
Yeah.
So if I had gotten a USB interface that plugs directly in, I could do it that way. But because I didn't do the research and didn't know what I was looking for, my dad bought me one for my birthday that was an analog. So it would be great if I was plugging in guitars and all that kind of stuff and, you know, just recording it into it or amplifying it and not recording into a computer. But because I didn't do the research, also fun story, somehow my dad bought me two on accident, the exact same one. So I have two analog sound cards.
The Tiger Direct mistake where they send you a double of something on accident.
Listen, it happens. Yeah. And like we say this, but I mean, we all definitely use a USB soundboard interface now for most everything.
Like, yeah.
And it makes a huge difference, if no other reason than I can, in the moment, you can check your levels, you can adjust the volume of a certain mic, and it does make things a lot easier. And you can buy, as good as the really good USB mics out there are, nothing will ever beat a good quality, like Shure analog mic, you know, plugged in through an XLR. Like, that's just what it is.
That's just, yeah.
So being able to run, you know, some good quality, you know, high-end directional mics through a USB soundboard, then that goes and feeds into the computer, whether it's being filled multiple channels or single channels or things like that, it's helpful. Like I said, now we do everything online because we're in four different locations. We each have our own crazy random setups at home through our computer that we can exact. And there's a lot of different great web conferencing software. We use Zoom, and Zoom actually added a new feature now where you can record each individual participant as a separate channel, which is fantastic. And then we just go on Zoom, start that baby up, hit the record button, and then run away with it. But then we definitely run into like where one person's using, you know, a Yeti, one person's using a Snowball, one person's using their like gaming headset, one person's using an analog mic plugged in through a soundboard going directly into their, you know, those kinds of things. And so you have different levels, but then the ability to like tweak each channel individually makes a huge difference.
Yep. And then if you're recording it, you know, you can always check those levels on your end too. Like whoever's the person who's going to record it, they can usually check those levels on their side for each person. We do a sound check every single time.
Yeah, I think we skipped over that. You need some cans. You need to be listening to your audio as you're recording it.
Yeah.
That's a must. If not everyone, at least someone has to be listening to audio live at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like probably everyone who's ever done a podcast has a horror story of bad audio or something that is too bad to fix in post, you know? Do we have any of those that you could share of like, oh yeah, we spent 3 hours on this wonderful episode and none of it saved?
Oh, we've had many of those. Hell, we had one just earlier today during the show where we had set up the soundboard, set up all the microphones, set up everything perfect. We have an external speaker, so we're playing to the crowd so that we can do these live. And then had the board run through our H4N, running double channels, everything fantastic. And then no one forgot to flip the switch that makes the H4N take the analog inputs as opposed to their built-in microphones. And attempted to record the better part of like three podcasts by having three tiny omnidirectional mics or directional mics sitting on the end of the table. And so we have a whole bunch of not great audio from earlier this week. Weekend, I should say.
Yeah. So that's something that happens. I've been through and edited a couple times, actually, like an entire episode, and then, you know, meticulously went through. Back in the day, it was a 3-4 hour long process for a half hour, 45 minute podcast to edit out every like and things like that. Only to accidentally like either save over a file that I didn't mean to save over, or, you know, accidentally just like close out of everything, turn the computer off or something like that, or like, oh, we'll come back and do it later, and then the computer's just off and we're like, what happened? And
it's all gone.
Yeah, and it's just gone. Like we've had that happen before. We've had one where that's actually one of our first live episodes we did, was because we're like, oh cool, we recorded an episode, it didn't work. And now I didn't record, and so I was like, let's just redo the whole entire thing, but live. I can't remember the Fox News guy who's like, okay, we'll do it live. But that's
exactly what
we were doing. It was Bill O'Reilly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of live, we've had a lot of live interviews. I've personally, and just us as a team, had some live interviews go poorly. So when we do live interviews or like on the floor interviews at a convention, we usually will just carry the H4 in, directly plug two mics into it, throw on a pair of headphones, call it a day. We've all, I mean, I don't, anyone who's uses a 4H4 and has had this happen to them at one point or another, no matter how well they seem or look at the time, you start that interview, 5 minutes in, the batteries go dead.
I've had it
happen at least two or three times to me. And then the other one would be, the H4N can do some pretty cool stuff with its built-in mics, but depending on how you have them set up, the amount of like background noise they'll pick up sometimes and not other times is crazy. I've definitely did an interview at CTV2 one year where I just set the machine on the table, had headphones in, checked my levels, everything sounded pretty good, took the headphones off because it was kind of distracting, and then did the entire interview, get back to put it that night to upload the audio, and it's just
garbage.
Just the amount of background noise and just static and just nonsense was horrible.
Yeah, I'd say the worst one we've had for Meeple Skills was probably like our biggest episode, because it was our second episode ever, and we had an interview with a game designer. And so we were like really excited about it. And so we were interviewing him over Google Hangouts, but this was before I had a soundboard or anything like that. And so the only way for both Jackie and I to hear the other person was to have the speakers on. And because
that feedback loop.
Yeah. And so there was like a slight echo, and it wasn't terrible, but it was noticeable. And like he messaged us later and was like, "Hey, just so you know, like I listened to the episode, you know, and it's kind of rough." And we're like, "Yeah,
we're still working on that.
We're still figuring that out." So now we did, we recorded a crossover episode with another podcast local to our area. And so it's like, and they talk about comic book, superhero comic book crossovers is like their theme. And so we did a crossover podcast with them.
Obviously.
And so we brought them in on Google Hangouts or Zoom. I think we used Zoom and had like our laptop. Jackie and Alyssa had that. And then I had them feeding in on my computer. And then it was like trying. So we had like four different things going and like a million different headphones. And I'm like, we're going to make this work. Like, and oddly enough, because I have the analog soundboard and have to go through that way, actually made the entire process way more complicated because I had to account for that and the USB interface and have headphones plugged in everywhere to make sure that everything was going through to the right channels.
Is Zoom the one that had... Zoom had a half-hour like record limit on it,
for a
didn't
while,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember when we first started with Zoom, that was something we found out, too. It was like we're in the middle of like an interview with Zoom. And then all of a sudden, it just, like, cuts out. And it's like, you've reached your 30-minute time limit. We're like, cool. And then we, like, had to finish it on Skype. And it was not nearly
as good. Yeah, so that almost happened to us. But because I had recently reformatted my computer, and so I opened up Zoom and, like, got them on and everything. And then we're into it. And then it's like, okay, you've reached your 40-minute limit. And I was like, what? I didn't know this was a thing. But I got lucky because they're like, we've extended it.
For your first time, or you didn't have the cookie or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And so I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you can pay extra. Like, I think it's like $100 a year for Zoom to have like the professional version of it.
Right.
Which you can record unlimited, which is super helpful, but not everyone's willing to make that up front.
Well, and especially if it's not something you use every time. Like, I can understand that for the Nerdcast especially.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You guys use that every week. Like, that's fine. And
oh, the other thing we didn't talk about, too, speaking of paying for things, like hosting.
What?
Like hosting for
your
podcast,
yeah.
Where you go about putting your content once you've had it recorded.
I don't even think about that because I make Iggy do all of it. But
oh. So we do Podbean. We've done various ones over the years. There's a lot of really great ones out there. I think the biggest one, the most well-known one, is Libsyn. Libsyn does a ton of like the really, really big podcasts.
How much is Podbean?
I don't know. I haven't checked the
price. Iggy does all that, too.
Well, I mean, and we've changed plans over the years, and, like, depending on the number of feeds and the number of uploads and bandwidth and stuff like that, you run into a lot of stuff. Podbean does offer some really cool tracking software, though, for seeing downloads and what sources they're coming from and things like that. Also includes embedding, so you can embed
the
audio.
RSS feed, too.
Yep. Yep, so which is really cool. But, yeah, hosting is... used to be, I think, probably the most onerous part of podcasting, but the number of websites that have popped up recently that kind of make it idiot-proof
and
is
really awesome. I think it's still intimidating, though, because, you know, you still have to kind of commit to something. Like, you know, when we decided to start Meeple Skills, it was a question of, you know, do we want to basically transfer, quote-unquote, ownership of Meeple Skills to Project Nerd in order to host, and basically making it free to us, you know, but we're giving up that aspect of the podcast. And there are plenty of organizations and podcast networks that will let you do that. Like, we will pay to host your podcast, but it's our podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, so when I started my Magic the Gathering podcast, there's a wonderful website completely run by donations and makes $0 and probably costs people money, but it's called the MTG Podcast Network. And you basically sign up and can host a podcast there. And there's kind of restrictions, like, you know, you got to make sure your file's compressed to a certain amount of storage space. But, I mean, that's where a lot of even, like, the biggest podcasts in that niche are, you know, hosts start out. And then when they grow, they kind of branch off.
I don't know if I was just, like, baller level status or I was like, I don't want to deal with all that. And I paid for, like, day one. We're like, okay, year of SoundCloud, $112. Done.
Yeah.
Or $120 bucks. And, like,
SoundCloud is also a really good one. And here's the thing. If you have the time and the know-how, like if you're tech savvy, if you're a web administrator or a website, you know, you know it, you can host your own RSS feed. Like, it's not hard. Like, it's not hard code.
Tried
but
that
it's
too.
Just, what's that?
So we tried that too. Dale had a bunch of servers at his house.
Running your own server. But, like, it's just become so easy to just, and almost cheaper just to farm it out to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I think, and it, like you said,
and
it
get
is
the
easy.
Analytics and things like that.
Right, and that's one of the things I kind of wish that I had kind of gone a different route for hosting, just so I would have, like, direct access to that information at will, instead of having to message Iggy and be like, hey, can you see how many downloads we got?
Yeah, exactly. Or, and that's another thing that we've had conversations about recently. So recently we made changes to the Project Nerd Podcast Network, where we now upload every single show, even though we have, you know, 12, 13 different shows. They all go onto one RSS feed,
mm-hmm.
which can be helpful for driving numbers and driving engagement and getting introducing new people to their podcasts. It can also be super confusing to your listeners who, like, were originally listening for this one podcast only and then are like, well, what's this other one? Who are these people? I don't know what this
well,
is.
Well, and so that's actually one thing we've run into is people are like, oh, well, I searched Meeple Skills and couldn't find it. I was like, well, you have to look at the Project Nerd Podcast Network, and then we show up there once a month. You know.
And I can say that
buy
we
the
would
domain
want,
and then forward it
it's,
to
yeah, it's,
Project Nerd.
It's nice to have everything in one place for ease of use, analytics, numbers, downloads. It is annoying, yeah, for that reason. And like, but at the same time, splitting everything back out into multiple RSS feeds, multiple podcasts. When it all comes down to it, it's really for us just a money thing. Like if we got back to a place where we were the website, the shows were producing like the revenue that we were looking for. We would probably split everything back out again, but it's a pain.
Yeah. But again, I think there is the, like you said, the advantage to kind of introducing people. So like when we say, we have someone say, okay, well, I'm going to listen to Meeple Skills, and so they download the network, then they find the Nerdcast and Sexy Nerd Science and all of the other ones that we have, and vice versa, you know. So, because I think, honestly, that is probably the key to Meeple Skills' success, is that we were able to kind of latch on and ride all of the rest of everybody's coattails. And, you know, people are like, oh, I like board games too. Like, that works. And
exactly.
We're all riding modern sex's coattails. We all, I mean,
modern
in the
sex,
nerd,
yeah.
In the nerd cast.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Okay,
if
so.
If you cannot put out a podcast for a year and a half, 2 years, and still get more listens than the other 10 podcasts combined. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to join that network.
Yeah.
Which, wait, like modern sex or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It turns out that subject gets a lot of engagement from the search, the random search.
Yeah, it's like it's the searches because I mean, sex and science gets the same thing like all the time. Like when we were doing hashtags, we always make sure to get hashtag sexy in there because like people search for sex and sexy all the time, and then they get sex and science out of it. Like, ha!
Nice.
Got it.
Fooled you. Yeah, see,
engaged.
That's exactly what happens. As
driving
someone's walking by,
engagement.
They're just
go
like,
on.
I heard the word sex.
But yeah, so maybe we need to introduce that to Meeple Skills. I'm not sure. So, and that was
sexy
okay.
Meeple.
Sex sells, baby. Sex sells.
Right.
Because then you get the negative stuff too.
Yeah, right. We had to delete so much porn from our website.
The G is for geek.
I did the voiceover.
I know. So anyway... So, okay, here's the one thing I want to talk about. naming your podcast. What is that journey like?
It's funny that Iggy's not here because it. This is a subject that I give him a hard time about sometimes, because we definitely went real generic,
sure.
The Nerdcast. So for those of you, I mean, we've hashed this out any time. The reason the Project Nerd is called Project Nerd is originally Iggy had a site that was called Project Blue that was specifically a website that did one thing and one thing only, and that was review Blu-ray movies. This is back when Blu-rays were still really new.
Sure.
And it was a big deal for something to come out on Blu-ray. And not all the pressings of Blu-rays were, like, of the same quality.
Sure.
It wasn't, they weren't being, like, mass-produced at a level yet. So there was definitely certain Blu-rays that would come out, like, hey, the audio encoding on this one's not real great, or the video quality is not a great transfer. So that was the entire website literally just reviewed Blu-ray releases of movies. And a lot of times, it was Blu-ray movies that had... It was movies that had been on personal video forever, but they had just now gotten their first, like, Blu-ray release.
Sure.
For instance, one that's a very, like... For people who were super Blu-ray early adopters, and it's... I had this copy. The very ever first Blu-ray release of The Fifth Element was just a...
Ooh.
Trash fire. Like, it was just a... It was a bad transfer. The video quality was terrible. The audio encoding was, like, a... She chose awful.
They did an HD DVD for that, too, didn't they?
They did, but the Blu-ray specifically was like, and eventually got to a point where they had to replace every, if you had one of those, they would replace it with another one when it came out.
Wow.
So there was a reason for this website to exist. Obviously, that reason no longer exists.
Right.
I don't even know the last time I bought a Blu-ray. I'm trying to remember. I have stacks of them at home, but I haven't bought a new one in years.
Yeah,
but,
streaming.
So that just segue into, from Project Blue into Project Nerd. And then when we're going to name it, it's like, I don't. We never really put a lot of thought into it. We just said, hey, let's call it the Nerdcast. So we called it the Nerdcast for Project Nerd. Little do we know, around that same time, maybe a little bit before, another podcast had just gotten started based out of Brazil, a Portuguese podcast, also called the Nerdcast. And our origin times are around the same, but it's still kind of funny to see the amount of Portuguese language traffic we get for our podcast, for people looking for the other one, which
that's
is pretty funny. So that's definitely, like, that's totally off topic. Would I have named it something different? I don't know. I like the name, but it's also been the name for 7 years, so it's kind of grown on me. Would I have done it differently? Possibly. I will tell you, the first thing to do is, once you think you have found one,
Google it
and see what shows up, how many results come up, and what the first result is.
Yeah.
And then...
Even if you're going to do it, like, a new segment, like, we did a new segment on... Sex, Internet, and Science called Nerd Battle, where, like, we literally were, like, we had to look through every different iteration of, like, Geek Fight, Nerd Battle, Battle Nerd,
sure.
Like, everything we could, and, like, we, first of all of them were used, but Nerd Battle hadn't been used, like, the Nerd Battle Facebook page hadn't had anyone go to it since, like, 2007.
Sure.
We were like, okay, I think we're in the clear here, like... We
okay.
could steal this name. Googling
that's
it.
How'd you get to Sexy Nerd Science?
We honestly, so we were like, okay, what can we talk about, like, that we know? And I was like, I love spouting off, like, my science stuff. Like, I just get really into the science side of things. And Drew was, like, a really big, you know, Drew's a big nerd, video game nerd, comic nerd. His basement at the time was completely decorated in... donated merchandise from the I hope not. Yep. Bummer. Drew didn't have any, like, it was merchandise from video games, GameStop,
sure.
Tons of faceplates from old arcade games, because he used to work at a Family Fun Center arcade. And so he had all these faceplates all around the basement. So he was a big nerd. And then we were just like, well, we can make, you know, we can show the sexy side of things to the science side and the nerdy side. And so we came up with that. Quick question, Drew, did you steal any of those faceplates from your arcade games?
Drew here back on the mic from the ones and twos. What are you talking about?
So when we came up with the Sexy Nerd Science name, one of the reasons we picked Nerdy was because your basement was, like, head-to-toe nerd, and you had a lot of, like, faceplates from the old arcade games.
Yes, they were all stolen.
That's I
every single one.
So the old Family Fun Center, and I'm totally okay with this because, first of all, they're out of business, and two, the statute of limitations is way past for video arcade header theft.
We're not advocating stealing, by the way, guys.
So the old Family Fun Center was still, like, open for, like, people to – or, like, the employees to go into. But everything had been moved out, and they were about to demolish it, like, 2 days later. And all of them were – I'll call it liberated. I'll call it I liberated them from demolishment because they were all still there. And I was like, well, I got my drill in my car. So I just went and zipped them out of the wall because they had them crudely drilled to the wall like Neanderthals.
Heathens.
That's
and
funny.
So – but, yes, they were all liberated from about to be abandoned building. So –
So nice. Yeah, we had a nerdy basement. So we were just like, oh,
we still have a nerdy basement. I actually did something really cool
and nerdy side
with them. I put a rope light behind them, and they all glow now.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
But
out.
Thanks, Drew. So for Meeple Skills, it was super fun because the tabletop gaming content realm is very saturated.
Indeed.
Because everybody wants to be able to talk about nerdy stuff and stuff they enjoy for a living. Only like 3 people actually get to do that, but everybody wants to, so there's a lot.
100%.
So obviously we wanted something board game themed, and Meeple is a really good thing to have a play on words, so obviously it's a play on people skills. And you have people skills, so it's a Meeple Skills. There are a lot of things using Meeple as sort of the base that are a play on words or some turn of phrase with the word people in it. So, like, there's man versus meeple.
Is there a We the Meeple?
Yeah, I think there's at least a Twitter account. I don't remember the rest. And then, like, so the first one we thought of was Table Flip Podcast because I get really salty playing board games when I lose. So I was like, that's perfect. And then we look, oh, that already exists.
Of course. Okay.
So I fortunately was like, I'm going to look first because I know this is an oversaturated market. And we looked at it, and I thought, like, well, what about Meeple Skills? Jackie's like, oh, I really like that one. And I looked it up, and I was like, nobody has? Nobody? Really? I guess I'm clever. So that was exciting. But we are also have been developing a show that's going to be broadcast on the Project Nerd Twitch channel. Where it'll be basically Jackie and a guest playing multiplayer games, like on the we have our Super Nintendo Classic hooked up to a capture card, and so they'll be playing like old Mario Kart and stuff like that. And so we looked around for that, and we were gonna do Basement Dwellers for that because it's in
I like it.
The studio's in our basement, and so I was like, oh, that's great. And I looked it up, and I was like, there's a lot of stuff.
I would imagine, yeah.
But you know what's not taken? Basement Bums.
Okay.
All right. So starting, I think, July 13th is going to be our first broadcast of that, of Basement Bums on the Project Nerd Twitch channel.
Like, this is totally off topic. I do think to date, though, my favorite video game-based podcast name will always be the old Kamel Nanjiani and his wife Emily's podcast that they used to do for Nerdist called The Indoor Kids.
Oh, okay.
I always like that.
I like that. Yeah, and so that was kind of our base. Like, okay, you know, the joke is that we're, you know, in our basement, you know, and there's a lot of stuff for Basement Bums, including a rather unflattering Urban Dictionary definition that is literally like a homeless person that lives in your basement and like stabs people.
All right.
And I was like, I don't want that to be the first Google result. So we changed it. But obviously marketing is a huge part of growing a podcast audience. So your name is part of that. And if you don't have something clever and catchy, and, you know, if you have something that there are 1,000 other things named that thing, whether or not they're podcasts or TV shows or books or whatever, you're burying yourself in those Google search results and ultimately hurting your chances of growing and getting an audience and community going.
Well,
that is 47 minutes of content.
We've nailed it. We just killed it, guys. Like, just rocked
everybody
it.
Listening to this
also,
is prepared.
Also, the one question that everyone always wants to ask, and we will say, until you hit, you know, the Nerdist or WTF or whatever level, don't expect to make any money off your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of great sponsors out there who will help you with costs or get you exposure, get some things out there. You know, do the Audible one, do whatever. But, you're not going to turn it not going to turn a pretty penny just yet. So.
No, no. And, I mean, if you're lucky, like you said, you can do a Patreon and stuff like that, and a lot of people will contribute. And, again, it helps you kind of absorb some of the cost. But, yeah, profit's not exactly in the cards.
Patreon might have run its course fully now. Almost.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I've seen a lot less Patreon things now, like crowdfunding for things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who make their living from Patreon and drive, but it's usually...
If you haven't already established it, I think it's...
Yeah.
It's a little late to try to get into it now.
But it is a great option.
Yeah.
Interesting. There are a ton of different services out there that you can kind of crowdfund through. So, like, for my Twitch stream, I have Twitch, which I don't really make money off of right now. But, you know, I have a Patreon, but I don't really have it set up to do anything at the moment. But I also have a Ko-fi or coffee, I don't know how they pronounce it, page, where people can just, like, yeah, I'll throw you $3, you know, whatever. So I have, like, three different potential revenue streams for this one thing. And then, you
just give out our PayPal link to...
Yeah, and then can you just Venmo me that money directly?
Spray and play method too is another thing we never really talk about. Like, put your content everywhere.
Oh yeah,
I think that is one of the best things. Like, make sure they can find your podcast on every podcast streaming.
Make it easy to get in. Oh yeah,
and that's something I'm going to talk about tomorrow in my Twitch stream panel thing that I'm doing. But yeah, like, just you need to totally sell yourself on social media,
Facebook,
and that's the
Instagram,
best way
Twitter.
To grow any audience for anything.
Hootsuite, get things that
combine all the stuff together. Interacting with people. So, like, you know, my Twitch stream, it's not like I'm famous. It's not like I'm a, you know, competitive any game player that has a win and I can say, I'm really good at this, watch me play it. It's literally been me talking to people on Twitter, making friends online, and then they tune in and say, hey, how you doing? Like, oh, cool, this game looks fun. You having fun? Hey, what's up? You know, and it's like I'm catching up with people in my Twitch chat. You know, or that's how Dale talks to me, is in Twitch chat. So
don't use Dale for social media interaction.
Oh,
he's the only one that does it, but he's also the only one that, like, sucks at it. I've never had someone be like, stop calling and texting me. Only use Discord to talk to me from now on. I'm like, what? Why Discord?
I use Discord a lot.
Like, to replace phone calls and texts, though?
Oh, no, that's stupid.
Yeah.
No, talk to my internet friends.
Yeah, so I talk to my internet
friends. Oh, good. Now I'm going to get the third member of Sex Innocence.
That's where we raid, man.
Turn it on.
I apologize. Okay, so no, the issue is that, like, he wouldn't answer his texts. He wouldn't answer Facebook. He wouldn't answer any of these things. So I'm playing a game with people, and I'm like, just come on Discord and chat with us if I'm going to be on the phone with you. I don't want to be on Discord in one ear and the phone on the other. So just download Discord and then get on your computer. If you're working or whatever, just chat with us. That's all I'm asking.
Why did you not already have Discord?
But if I do have Discord. But
well, now, after I asked you to download
it. No, I had Discord when Dale and I used to play computer games. But it was one of those things where I'm like, Dale, I need you on the podcast. And I'd, like, text him and call him, and, like, he would not answer. And then, like,
and
we'd
you,
see
he's would,
on Discord.
And then you would add him on Discord, and you did an immediate response?
Exactly. Well, like, it happens.
Well, okay. So, actually, this is an interesting topic, because Discord's still kind of new to this social media presence, and it's, while more prevalent in gaming spheres specifically, is actually, like, a great resource for even things like podcasts and, like,
group chats.
I mean, this will age me in a big way, but I definitely use Discord now for a lot of my gaming stuff. I'm in a lot of gaming channels, and, like, my WoW guild, when I was still playing WoW, we had moved to Discord and did all of our raids through Discord and had different channels for that. I've used it for other games and things like that, but I will 100% say the primary reason I moved to Discord is we moved to Discord from our old one specific internet group of friends of mine. Discord was our replacement for our IRC channel that we had lived in forever.
Exactly.
Because we still used IRC.
Right. Well, and so that's the thing. So, like, you know, you could have podcasts or, I mean, YouTube channels or Twitch streamers have their own Discord servers. So, you know, these people show up and literally to this Discord server to talk about this content stream.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's awesome.
It's just a well-made app. Like, it has a lot of really cool features, a lot of really cool neat built-in things, like being able to pin things to channel, make
and
different channels, different voice channels. And it's free.
I like
very
the jokes.
Free.
And if you pay extra, you can get sweet emojis and a bunch of free games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get that Discord Nitro. That could be a sponsor for us. Discord Nitro. I pay for you. Please sponsor us.
Yeah. Oh my God. Please.
Right.
I'd take any sponsors at this point.
But it is time. We need to wrap it up. But hey, guys, thank
52
you.
52 minutes of content. That's good stuff.
Like, that's just good podcasting.
You get three
right
geniuses
there.
On a podcast Listen, talking. That's what happens.
We should start our own podcast.
Podcast savants. But hey,
three
guys,
geniuses.
Thanks for listening in. We are once again Project Nerd coming to you live from the Project Nerd Podcast Pavilion at Ocon Expo, numero 5, 2019. Thanks for listening, and we will have a lot more great content coming straight to your ear holes from Ocon. So stay tuned here to Project Nerd.
Woo! See you next time.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.